And a very somber hello, fellow bandwagoners and basement dwellers. This is Patrick O'Dowd coming to you with another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. And a little bit more of an interesting show today. I don't really think that there's much else to talk about other than the news at large. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it in the context of our show. I'm not going to do it alone, of course. With me, as always, is the man who has been here since day one and never missed a show. That's one Mr. Dave Ungar. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
You know, man, the world just is not as much fun since I stopped drinking. So I'm starting to drink early today. So
I was like, what do you mean stop drinking? I know. Here's to us.
Here's to the world recovering. Yes. How are you guys doing?
Well, let's introduce the other guy first. This is the first time I've actually seen his whole face on an episode of the show, and the podcast is for once. Our eyes get to be dazzled by one unhooded PC Tunney wearing a Kurt Angle shirt, it appears, today. How are we doing, Tunney?
It's true. And I never felt more at home on this show than, once again, drinking with the three of you. So cheers.
Oh, cheers.
You know, a little cheers, my Corona.
Yeah. There you go. Scotchy Scotch.
Yeah. By the way, people, go and buy some Corona. Like Hangman Adam Page said, this is really not their fault.
Yeah, buy it out of spite. So, yeah, we're already making jokes. There's really not a whole heck of a lot in the news to talk about these days other than how the COVID-19 virus has impacted the entertainment. And so that's really what we're going to do. We're going to stick to what we've been doing. We're going to be covering a show. We're covering Lock and Key. Episode 2, we started that last week. All three of us were in on that conversation. And I think after this episode, we're gonna continue to do what we've always done. It'll just maybe be a different sort of coverage as we look at this. But, you know, I think that it's kind of surreal right now, even to be here and to look at what this is doing to us across the country as we try to, as they keep saying, flatten that curve, protect folks from getting infected, and protecting our hospitals, I think, more than anything, in our healthcare industry, making sure that it can still treat people effectively without being overwhelmed, and hopefully we don't become Italy. All of that,
that would not be good.
Later on in the show, right? We're going to start with what we always start with in every show. We're going to cover Lock and Key episode 2, because that's what we were doing before all of this news sort of broke last a week ago. We were still talking about everything, and Lock and Key was our opener. And I got to tell you, Tony, you said it last week that every time somebody watches, they're like, Lock and Key, man. Well, Lock and Key, man. Episode 2. Very, very excited. And here's the thing I got to say about this show that I've appreciated versus the three shows that we've seen so far. The world building is a part of it, but the action really feels like it has started and goes hard right away. Like we're not just establishing things, discovery being a huge part of the show, new keys being found, and those impacts throughout the world. Like we're getting the character development, but I feel like so far we haven't spun our wheels yet, and I kind of love that. And to end the show the way that it did this episode, ending that episode with a very much a true cliffhanger as to what's going to happen next. What are the flashing lights, Tony? Where are they going down into the toy chest? I want to know. And the little O'Dowd wants to know. The little O'Dowd does not trust the keys, by the way. Little O'Dowd is like, don't do it, and freaked out when the keyhole appeared on the back of that kid's neck. So lots of fun. Dave, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm like you on the end of the episode. My biggest question is, what's in the box? Does anybody have that sound clip? Right. What's in the box, man? The second episode was very good as well. Bodhi clearly trying to kind of figure out. He finds a key in a vacuum cleaner. He's trying every lock in the house to try and figure out which one opens, and never realizing it's yourself that the key fits to. You start finding out a little bit more about Randall Locke. Mm-hmm. And yep. in a huge tragedy that befell this area involving that close-knit group of friends that nobody seems to really remember, or at least Duncan is, has blanked it from his memory, that sort of thing. You got development of the older siblings and what they're going through, and you know, just how they're internalizing everything themselves, that sort of thing. And it's a really good, and I mean, especially Echo, where you get the distinct feeling that, okay, this person may not be a person at all. There's something more to her, it, whatever she might be. She's definitely got a malevolent sort of, you know, tinge to her, that sort of thing. But I really enjoyed the episode. It is very world building. Like you said, Patrick, they're obviously developing and moving in a certain direction, and everything's kind of expanding, and they're not expanding too fast. They're kind of gradually, let's put a couple more pieces, introduce a few more elements and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm very interested to see what is in the G.I. Joe box, the crate, what's going to happen next. It's great stuff so far.
I think the important thing that you guys have hit on, and it's hard for me having watched it and it's been a little while. And I think as we move along, especially when we hit the halfway point, I think I'm going to rewatch the first half so I can come on with the same perspective. But I would say you guys hit on a few key things. I don't really want to give anything away. And I don't think I am in saying, you know, focus on the family and maybe, you know, what's happened in the past with Rendell and everything else like that. But, you know, I love listening to you guys talk about it because you're so much smarter in watching it than I am. I just really enjoy it. I know it's really good, but you guys see all the connections and what can happen in the future. So for me, it's fun listening to you guys kind of talk about what's going to happen.
Well, good. I'm glad we can entertain you on that. By the way, other things that... So I mentioned I'm watching this with the little O'Dowd, right? Was not prepared for sexy time choking dude happening on the screen. Now, little O'Dowd, and thankfully, you know, given the material, like we didn't have like full naked or anything like that. I mean, he's 8, like life would have gone on. But he only picked up on that, wow, she choked that dude. He's not very good, not what they were doing while she choked that dude. Oh, but yeah. Oh man. And the Mrs. O'Dowd was upstairs still asleep. We watched it before she got up this morning. And so thankfully I didn't have to answer for that. I came clean a little bit later because the last thing I needed was the little O'Dowd being like, I watched this scene and this naked lady choked out a naked dude. What was going on there?
I could see her go, hey mom, do you ever choke out dad? You know, I'm just kind of wondering.
When you two are wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the normal noises in here. Nothing to worry about.
So what were her words to you about it then when you told her?
I really just got a strong look of disapproval because she was just waking up. And that's usually the best time to break that news to the Mrs. O'Dowd is you wait till her faculties aren't quite all there yet. Like we're still a little groggy. And that's when I'm like, you know, by the way, I spent $7,000 on, you know, a Honda or something like that. Like you kind of drop that news when they least suspect it. That's how you manipulate a good marriage and you keep that in place.
By the way, I'm supposed to be throwing you under the bus, Patrick, because Greg said it was your fault that the last episode didn't get out when it was supposed to, because you hadn't done the write up and
in my defense, I work for a major public university and there was other shit going on that week. So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Suck it, Greg. Right.
We did get good feedback from Greg, who was really enjoying the show, all bullshitting aside. So that's it's good to hear that from the main man.
Yeah, he did give me a hard time on his show. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Chair Shot Radio show. He made a point to point out, this is the first time I ever had to wait on the write up. Well, fuck off. Whatever.
The title that I gave him was The Ladies Love Johnny Depp. And then you switched to the casting couch. And I said, Patrick is clearly watching too much Pornhub. And that's why this title got
changed.
What
are we going to do? We're stuck inside, Dave. We're stuck inside. What are we going to do?
I know. Pornhub subscriptions going through the roof right now.
Oh, my God. You know, I think they should go the direction of some of the other companies. Just make it free for 2 months.
Sure.
I'm so glad I made it today.
Aren't you though?
I am. Love you guys. Happy Corona.
So, Right. So back to the episode itself. Obviously, the next episode is going to focus on what's in the box. I think that some threat. There's clearly, and Tony, you told us to pay attention. Clearly, something's up with Mom, and I'm not sure why or how. But it seems like something's up with Mom. Clearly, something's up with the mother, the like foster mother of the housekeeper too. She knows more than she's letting on. So mysteries to be unraveled. And did anybody else, by the way, the brother-in-law, do you notice who that is? Do you recognize him? It's Bobby Drake from the X-Men movies.
It is. That's right. It is.
I was like, oh, look, it's Iceman.
It is a grown up Iceman. So yeah, right. like you're saying that the mother, she seems to be like, she's probably going to be the one who starts piecing this stuff together. She's getting little tidbits of information here that, you know, obviously she's forgotten what happened in the mirror room, which I did forget to mention. I thought about it last week. That was a nice little homage to Poltergeist, I thought, in the first episode. Tie the rope right around your waist, go into the nether world and pull somebody out. I thought that was a nice touch. She doesn't remember that, but now she's starting
to... Does she, though? You actually mentioned it last week. Yeah. You're like, I'm not sure, so sure she doesn't remember.
She might.
Something weird, because there was that moment. I can't remember where it was. Oh, she was picking up the hammer, and it was like a flashback thing. Like there's something there. So it's gonna be interesting to see what pans out there and whether that light, how that light dawns when you're like, oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It's a fun time, man. Right? But the
got Tony over here doing hand gestures and stuff. I feel like we're playing charades, like you're on the right track.
You're getting warmer.
We're
getting
on the wrong warmer, track. No, getting it's all right. All right, he just wants to drink more.
Teddy's just like, no, I'm not gonna go there.
He's a mime.
You're close.
And it's a horrible thing to waste. We're close.
You're close. Good for you guys.
Cool.
You'll get it.
We'll get it. Well, and we'll talk more about it next week. I didn't bother to look for trailers for the trailer park this week. I briefly looked. I will say, go on IMDb and look at the most recent that they've got listed. There is a Beastie Boys documentary that's being released on Apple Plus that's hosted by the two remaining members of the Beastie Boys. It's like an interesting, it's a Spike Jonze documentary. It's a combination of them like on the stage talking about their career / sort of a documentary of the band. It looks really, really interesting. Now, you have to have Apple Plus to be able to see it. I happen to have a free year subscription because I got a new iPhone, so I'm going to check it out. But I may share that that trailer with the two of you or with everybody within our conversation thread, because I do think it might be worth a look and a watch. A little different than what we follow. But I just couldn't see the point of talking about movies that might be coming out within the next few weeks, because it's looking like a lot of movies aren't going to come out in the next couple of weeks. And I figure before we get into sort of how this has impacted entertainment, we can just talk a little bit about how the last week and the events of this past week have impacted us, you know, in whatever way you want to describe it. And I'm happy to go first. I've talked about this on more than one platform. I work for a large public university, and within the span of the last 2 weeks, we've gone from students taking an extended spring break and coming back on April 3rd to this past week while we were wrapping up people leaving for spring break on Friday. Yeah, on Friday afternoon at about 4:50 p.m., the university announced that we were no longer doing an extended spring break. We were now closing our residence hall doors and the campus doors for the foreseeable future, basically the remainder of the semester. I'm not sure how it'll impact our summer. This was very sudden, was very unexpected. We had a large number of families who had already gone home under the impression that they were going to be coming back within 3 weeks. We also had, at the time that this was being announced, people moving out as we speak, like as this is going down throughout the day, because again, it was the last day to leave before this break started, people leaving halfway through their move, getting email alerts on their phones, and as word spread, we went from a mass go home, see you later, to scrambling to manage the number of people that were going to come back or were already there, making the decision to turn in their keys and go home now. It, you know, as I look at this as an employee, I've gotten the directive that I'm going to be working remotely. For how long or how that's going to work, I don't even know. I have to attend a conference call tomorrow where we really find out what we're going to do and how we're going to manage our operation. And I think that if nothing else, this has had a profound impact on my day-to-day life, like it has everybody else. And at the same time, you just wonder how much you can manage and what you can do. And it's been pretty crazy. Compound that with the fact that I don't know that I've shared this with anybody else, but the little Dowd missed school this week because he had a cold, had a fever and a cough. And I think it was just a cold. I think it was just the flu. But you look at your kid and you're like, what, you wonder. And I'm like arm distancing my son because because you're not sure. And then now his mom has a cold. Again, we think it's a cold. My wife is sick, and here I am down in the basement being like, how do I do this social distancing thing
in your own home?
When I'm in my house, you know, never mind the scene at grocery stores, never mind the scene everywhere else, which I don't feel prepared for, but I don't know that I can get prepared for. And we don't really know what's going to happen next. We don't know if the president's going to come out and shut the country down and tell us to stay inside like they did a la Italy. It seems like every time I'm out, I stop by the grocery store just to see what's there and see if I can pick up a little bit more of this or that, just kind of piecemealing it every day or so. And so today I noticed that a lot of shopping, like stores, grocery stores, other major shopping vendor groups, places that don't sell essentials are starting to shutter their doors or reduce their hours. Our local grocery store chain is reducing their hours. They're only open until like 8 p.m. now instead of later. And so it's quite a sight around here in me. And I can only imagine, you know, Dave, I know you're out west and Tony in Wisconsin, but there's a lot to take in. So go ahead, Tony. Why don't you share? What's your perspective here, man?
It's funny, I'll transition and stick with kind of the grocery store thing. And I actually work in retail as well. So, but like there's stories of like lines out the door. You go to a Target around here and like the shelves are empty for paper towel and toilet paper, which is weird to me because this is a upper respiratory kind of disease and not like shit your brains out kind of thing. And then on that, a transition again, my stepfather has been sick for the past few days, but he has a little bit of diarrhea as well. So he just has the regular old flu, right? So it's like the only time you're ever relieved to have diarrhea, right? sticking with that, my grandpa, 91 years old, his birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday to him, 91 years old, military veteran down at the VA. Couldn't go visit him on his birthday because no visitors because of what's happening right now, right?
Right.
Sticking with the work thing, my retail store, we do sell sanitizer and things of that nature. Three is the maximum you can buy. And people, they have no problem telling you that they're very displeased with you, right? And you have a hard time being nice and wanting to keep your job when people like that can't understand what's going on. So that's kind of a difficult thing. And then once again, kind of staying in like a very circular motion here, I am on vacation right now, this week. And I was expecting to be off to watch March Madness, the only reason I took vacation, right? So now maybe I'll go out for St. Paddy's Day, which to tell you, around my parts, Southeast Wisconsin, Milwaukee area, bars are open and they're kind of packed actually because there's nothing else to do, right? There's no new movies coming out. There's no nothing else. And let's talk about media, actually, what we always talk about. How much of an influx do you think streaming services have gotten lately because people are stuck at home and they're like, well, I'm going to subscribe to this. I'm going to subscribe to that. As we sit here, I'm watching ESPN play old 30 for 30. SportsCenter is about old March Madness highlights. ABC is talking about actually releasing the Jordan documentary during this hiatus because there's nothing else going on. And that was supposed to start during the NBA Finals. Think about that kind of thing. So for me, that's kind of how my life has been impacted. Right. I know my store is still open. Places are still open around here. The logistical side of the nation hasn't, you know, collapsed yet. But yeah, I mean, things are different for people. Right.
It's funny you mentioned March Madness. Spring break always happens where I work over the opening weekend of March Madness. And for years, I have always taken the Thursday and the Friday off. I don't take the whole week off. I take the Thursday and Friday off, and I will go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And I introduce myself to whoever my wait staff is, and I say, listen, here's all I want. I want to be at a place where I can see all four regions, all four games playing at once, which they can always do because it's Buffalo Wild Wings, so they got them all kind of spread out. And it's like, and I'm going to be here for about 6 hours. All I need you to do is come by and check on me and see if I need another beer because I'm going to be here a while. And they're always, it's great. They're always great. My friend, I had a friend who I knew through the bowling alley where I am in a bowling league. He would come join me. We'd sit with rackets. We'd eat wings. And we'd watch March Madness. And we watch. And this is the first year we were joking about basketball, Big Ten basketball. I was talking about a game that I wanted to get to after our podcast to get and see. And it was Illinois playing Iowa. It was the last game of the Big Ten season, regular season. And it was for a double bye in the now defunct Big Ten tournament. And that game was an exciting game. It was a thrilling game. It was won on a blocked shot at the end of regulation, Illinois getting that 2-point victory. And that's the last memory I'll have of that season in a year where my team was going to make the tournament for the first time in 6 years.
Looks like we're the champs then, hey, this year.
That's true. Like, that's the thing is that they went with, if you go by the tiebreakers and all that, then yeah, the fucking Badgers are the Big Ten champs. The white guys who can shoot are the champs. And it was just, but here's the thing is, regardless of who wins the champs, and, you know, and I know you're making a joke, man, it just sucks for those kids. It sucks for those seniors, you know, new extra eligibility or not, or wherever that's, whatever that means. It just sucks. And when people, our good friend, Christopher Platt, we got into a pretty heavy discussion about this. It's, to me, we got to look at this legitimately. We got to stop as a people blowing this thing off and not talking about it as if it's not a big deal. And the reason I say that is because companies don't make multi-billion dollar decisions. Like, this is going to cost the NBA millions of dollars. This is going to cost college sports millions of dollars. This is going to cost universities millions of dollars. My department alone is out $22 million just if they have to refund people for housing. And how can you not? Like, how can you not say, hey, we're not going to give you a place to live and still charge you for it? You can't do it. We're gonna feel this crater for a really long time, and it's gonna be nuts. Dave, I'm sorry, we haven't let you in. Get in here, man.
No, that's all right. Because I mean, I guess this episode we're kind of, you know, I mean, with podcasts, you know, like all of us do wrestling podcasts, so a lot of those we're kind of like an alternate caricature of ourselves in a lot of those ways. And this episode is more, I guess, pulling back the curtain because this is a very real situation. So you guys know what I do for a living. And for people who have never, I mean, anybody listening to Attitude of Aggression for the past 5 years, they know what I do for a living. And so for the bandwagoners, look, I'm a workers' comp attorney. I work for a national workers' compensation insurance carrier. They're constantly looking at this situation and the evolving situation. And you know, that's beside the point. So you've got the impact going on with schools. You know, I got both my kids, the high school district here suspended all athletics, all, you know, drama, all that sort of stuff, but they're keeping the schools going for now, that sort of thing. The big impact to me is I was 15 days away from going back to the East Coast for the Nationals banner raising game. That's gone. The Capitals home finale that same day, that's gone. The good news is it looks like, you know, where I got the tickets from, I got them through SeatGeek. They're going to honor that whenever the game, either they'll refund you the money or they'll honor it whenever the change comes. When the hell is that going to happen? So I can get out of my airline tickets. They're, hey, free cancellation. We won't charge you for canceling or changing this stuff. It's like, I don't know when to change it to, because who knows when those leagues are going to resume, you know, hotels. So, I mean, it was a once in a lifetime opportunity to see your team raise a championship banner and then see your hockey team that did that 2 years ago play their home finale. There's virtually no chance that even when the league start up again, that those two games are going to line up like that again. I harbor no illusions about that. So it's extremely disappointing. Yeah, I don't understand the run on toilet paper. It makes no sense to me. Like Tunney's saying, this is not some situation where you've got dysentery and you're just going to crap your brains out. You know, I mean, I posted, I don't know, Patrick, you saw the picture I posted on Facebook last night. It's a picture of Gentleman Jack and six rolls of toilet paper. And I'm like, bring it, COVID-19. We're fucking ready for you.
Right.
So, you know,
I did.
I don't get. I mean, that stuff I don't get, you know, but you see it when you go anywhere in the town. Like we went to, you know, I about a month and a half ago, I got a Traeger grill, right? So every Sunday now we're doing like decent kind of meals, big meals. And there's a really good meat shop in town. And because, you know, for the real stuff, like if I'm doing pulled pork or brisket, I'm not getting that crap from the local grocery store. I'm going to a real meat market.
Right.
They and the meat market we have, one of them, there's two of them, they're sister stores. One of them's got a decent little grocery store in there, a little tiny one, but it's good. No toilet paper anywhere. Now, there is a convenience store down the street here where they have toilet paper behind the counter, and my buddy's got a hookup, and so we're fine on TP, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, you just look at the disruption in just everyday, daily life that people... And it was weird, man, because earlier in the week, everything changed, like you said earlier in this episode, everything changed in a week. A week ago, it was not on the radar that it was going to have this kind of a cataclysmic effect on everything. And then in this, and you just watched it progress every single fucking day last week, where it went from my sister texting me at 6 a.m, the day that I think things really started to spiral out of control, saying, I don't think you should come back to New York. It's not safe. And I'm like, look, I have a feeling this. And I talked to my wife. I said, what do you think? And she's like, well, we both have compromised immune systems. Maybe not the best of ideas. I said, look, I have a feeling this is going to play itself out over the next few days, which it did. And that sort of thing. But it just went, and you just watched the dominoes start falling. NBA gone because Rudy Gobert tests positive. Then the NHL suspends. Then MLS suspends. Then Major League Baseball postpones the beginning of the season. And you've got March Madness not postponing, but just flat out canceling. I'm like, why couldn't we do May Madness? Because my personal belief is I don't think things return to normal till around Memorial Day. That's my best estimate based on everything I'm hearing from people in my industry who are looking at this. We're not going to peak for probably a month yet. I'm guessing even if we implement all the social distancing, it's going to be a month. Once those tests start becoming more prevalent, and you saw what the numbers doubled in what the last few days?
2,000. Yeah, they went up to over 2,000 cases now.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, people need to take this stuff seriously. Are people panicking and going overboard? Absolutely. But, you know, at the same time, you got to take it seriously. We've never been through, and I can't remember ever a time like this. Maybe 9/11 comes sort of close to this, but not to this extent nationally. I mean, people are like, it's gone crazy. So yeah, it's a profound effect on all of us, on all coasts. You're on the East Coast, Patrick. I'm on the West Coast. Tony's right in the middle. So we're all seeing it.
You know, you mentioned the when things changed, and I'll tell you, I think I know the transition period of when things changed, because I can remember being done with work on Wednesday,
yeah,
and getting home and turning on ESPN and the Dallas Mavericks game is on. And you can see Mark Cuban getting the text in the stands and going, what the, and shows it to the guy next to him. It was clearly like his guy, go-to guy at the arena or whatever,
He went to the players too.
Right. And he went right over and did it. Right. And then I can remember they cut to like a shot at the game that was going to be played at the next arena. And you could see the coach in the tunnel, like shake his head and walk away. And I'm like, okay, he shook his head. Like they're not going to play either. They're just not going to play. So like, when that happened, and then I can remember I was off the next day, and I play a lot of Golden Tee, right? So I like to go up in the afternoon and get a game or two in, have some lunch, and I get up to the bar, and my bar manager friend up there is like, I heard like Duke and Kansas pulled out. Like, what am I going to, I have all this, you know, cause I used to work in that industry. Right. So like, we're like talking about their business and she's like, I have all this staff. Like, are they really canceling everything? Do I like, I mean, you know, this is kind of like at a more of like a local business level too. Like, what do these people anticipate? Right. And I think from Wednesday night when the NBA actually canceled.
Yeah. And then the next day,
NCAA. So yeah. Within like, oh boy, I would say like 11 p.m. Eastern till the next day, 11 p.m. Eastern. That was the 12-hour breaking point of when it all went boop.
Right. And it was led.
Like Donkey Kong.
Right.
And the WHO.
And it was led. Oh,
I'm sorry, Patrick. I don't mean to stop.
No, go ahead,
I think like when the WHO declared it a pandemic, that got people's attention. And then March Madness canceled a couple hours later. And it was like, literally, I was at Albertsons that day. And Albertsons is our grocery store. And I was in there and I was like, God damn, there's a lot of cars in the parking lot. And as I was in there, it just filled in behind me. And it was like Thanksgiving times two was going. I mean, Thanksgiving's not that bad. It was just some insane stuff going on.
Yeah, it's amazing the what it takes for us to pay attention. And I would argue that the NBA making the decision that they did was what made the world, like made the United States stop and go, whoa, as like a people. And to me, unfortunately, what the result of one player falling ill, that also leading to an official who had officiated his game. Now, whether he got it from the player or not, that's whatever, but the time frame matches, and a teammate, suddenly now you're not only seeing that, oh, a professional basketball player contracted this, look how this spread because we left it unchecked. And what's horrifying right now is that we're still in a place where it's kind of unchecked, and what's really worried is that we're not effectively testing our folks. We're still trying to get on board. And people are going to get sick. And, you know, Dave, you alluded to it earlier about like having a compromised immune system. I'm in the same boat. I'm diabetic.
Yeah, you're high risk, man.
And so, you know, somebody coughs around me and I don't want you near me right now. Like, I know that, like, I don't have asthma or anything like that. But, you know, and I'm in an age range where I would probably recover from it. I'm not as seriously hampered as some other folks were, but literally had a physical this past Monday where my news was bad and they had to change my meds and change the approach because I'm getting older and that sort of stuff happens.
Hey man, and I'll just say this, you do not look, I mean, I see a lot of diabetes cases. You do not look like the typical diabetic.
So. No, most people would say that too. And you know, I've been diagnosed for 8 years. I probably had it longer than that because I didn't go to a doctor for 20 some years. But what infuriates me, and this will be the last that I kind of talk about this, and I do want to get to the entertainment industry and just kind of where are we going? What irritates me is today and yesterday, you know, social media folks seeing people who are still flinging this out a window. Now, some of this I get. Tony, you talked about a bar. I went to a restaurant yesterday for lunch after being called into work to help out with something. And I grabbed a quick salad, was in and out, and watched while I was there, the staff just walking around with cleaners, cleaning every menu after it's handed back to them, cleaning every countertop after everything. Like, they are sterilizing the shit out of their place. But when I sit there and I see photos of a concert in Nashville with a packed house, when I see pictures in Bourbon Street, people flooding the streets, still acting business as usual, and almost a sense of pride acting in defiance of this whole thing, not recognizing the reality of you being a young person who may be able to carry this, not feel a serious effect, but could drastically impact the folks around you. Whether that's my health or your grandmother's health or your asthmatic nephew's health or whatever it is, that to me is what is horrifying and why I am truly concerned about what's going to happen next, because we still have people who aren't taking this seriously and acting in a sense almost as if it's this like badge of honor that we're going to say, you know, fuck all, we're going to do what we want. The fact that Tampa is probably going to be the one to put an end to WrestleMania this year.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
Grotesque to me that Vince McMahon, I don't care if you want to put a bullshit argument about this being for the fans, you're putting hundreds of thousands of people at risk with given the amount of people that come to an area for that event. Even the empty arena argument, like I watched a UFC event yesterday in an empty arena, or something, or SmackDown with the empty arena.
Raw tomorrow.
I get it. You don't have tons and tons of people around. There's not a ton. One wrestler. That's all, or one anybody within that company that's got to be there to work. And you've got a real problem. And Vince looks like a greedy ass over doing it. And I don't like that. That's what it's taking. And I don't buy that it's for the fans. I buy that he's a greedy bastard whose best friend is the president of the United States, who doesn't take this seriously and acts like a dumbass on how this should be reacted to.
WrestleMania,
he still isn't doing stuff.
Right. WrestleMania should be canceled, or at least postponed. I mean, do it in June.
Yeah, postpone it.
Do it in June or July. Do a 2-day event. You know, I was saying they should combine Mania and SummerSlam, but then that's going to screw either Boston or Tampa out of this. I mean, Tampa's got a lot of money invested in this, and the big hit isn't so much WWE's going to be fine. They've got all that Saudi money in the TV. Tampa's the place that gets a giant fuck you to this whole thing because they lose all that tourism. But yeah, when you've got a travel ban, did you see the stuff from Chicago today? People coming back.
Oh yeah, it's
ridiculous. Six hours to get your bags and another 3 hours to get through customs. Fuck that. You know, I mean, go ahead, Tony. I mean, I'm with you, Patrick. Vince should be canceling, postponing this shit. It shouldn't have to come as an edict from the government of Florida to say we're putting a stop to this nonsense right now, because you're right. The same guy who didn't give a shit that the Saudi government did what they did to the journalist and went ahead with the show. And that's not nearly as extreme, I don't think. But I mean, I guess it could be. But yeah, this is something that it's ridiculous. You need to step up, do the right thing, or else it becomes very transparent that all Vince gives a shit about is the money.
You know, we've talked about and made the point clearly about the health concern risk, right? But talk about traveling, right? I have family members who have a trip planned to Mexico, and at the time, they're not buying insurance on that because they're not worried about it. They're going to go. But now, if you can't afford to spend an extra 2 weeks where you're going, then you can't really go. It's because you might not get let back into the country, right? So you talk about all these events and all these big things. It's kind of like UFC in Brooklyn coming up at April-ish, right, or something, 249. April 18th. Uh-oh, it's got me. No, it doesn't. I'm good. sorry about that. This is the only way I could think to go to cut the mood here. But talk about people planning trips and buying that kind of insurance and stuff like that. The airline industry is going to be okay because they're just going to keep a lot of these people's money.
Most of them I've seen so far are doing the right thing. I mean, they're offering like Air Alaska, which was the one that we had for the trip going from LA to Newark. Yeah, they're no. I mean, and I had insurance on all this stuff, you know, so it's no big deal. But they're like, yeah, no problem. Americans like, yeah, free change, that sort of thing. But it's like, okay, that's great, guys. But I don't know when this is going to happen. I'm going to give you my money back. Don't worry about that as long as you've offered the flight. But I don't know when that's going to be, that sort of thing. But, you know, Mania is one thing that needs to just go away, that sort of stuff. But, you know, WrestleMania is right now the only large event that's still left standing, which is not going to last, and which is as good a segue as anything into the entertainment industry, because, hey, WWE is entertainment. And,
right,
you know, whether people want to admit it or not, it is.
Right. And the gist of what's going on is basically everything's halted. If there was something being filmed, it's being halted. If you were expecting to go see Black Widow on May 1st, I wouldn't hold your breath. We know Mulan is one of the ones that was supposed to come out in a couple weeks. Mulan has been pushed back.
New Mutants.
The James Bond movie, pushed back.
New Mutants,
pushed back.
Quiet Place 2.
Quiet Place, pushed back. And, you know, I would expect to see your local cinema shutting its doors soon too.
Most of them are like running at 50%, I think, is what we're hearing.
So we have Cinemark theaters out here. I got an email from Cinemark that was talking about a big cleanup.
Would you guys even consider going to a movie in the next month to 6 weeks?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I don't.
If they set
the theater up
have
right,
to watch on Netflix and everything else in Disney Plus, like right. Disney Plus release Frozen 2 way ahead of time.
Hey, you're jumping the gun. And I have the bullet later. Tony, son of a bitch.
Motherfucker. I'll go sit over here.
Yeah, get in your cage. Go find your hoodie. Anyway, hide your face. No. No, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's why would you risk it? And I think that's what it comes down to at this point. And clearly I think there are people who would. I just bitched and moaned about, Bourbon Street and Nashville and concerts. And so there are people out there that would do it. But if you're a company, is it the right thing to do? I get it. We're a capitalist world and you need money to survive and you need money to keep going. But you're still acting as a public health risk. And so it's nice that I got an email from Cinemark saying, if you want a refill on your popcorn, it's got to be a fresh tub. If you want, after every movie, we're going to do a thorough disinfectant wipe down of every theater. That's great. It's what you should be doing anyway. But it's, it's nice. But I'm still not going to go because you can't control the people. And that's really what this comes down to at the end of the day is you can't control the people. You can't control what Dave may or may not be carrying when he walks through the door or through the turnstile or whatever. And I think about that in kind of a smaller level locally. I talked about a bowling league earlier. We're talking about I'm looking to end our season early for the same sort of deal because the bowling alley is still going to be open. But is it prudent for me to bring 50 people together to bowl once a week, particularly when I have senior citizens as a part of the group? Like what? Morally, I don't feel like that's the right thing to do.
What if every time you walk into a movie theater from now on, there's an attendant standing there as you walk through the door and as you get just past, they take like whatever Virex or whatever kind of disinfectant Lysol spray and they spray you down your back.
Dude, like Costco,
just below your neck down to above your feet. So that way, when you sit, wherever you sit, you basically disinfect wherever you are.
Costco was taking people's temperatures when they were walking into Costco the other day. That's unheard of. Yeah. Our Costco was taking people's temperatures as they were walking in the door. I've never seen or heard anything like that. They're doing that with anybody who wants to see Trump now. You want to see Trump take your temperature, that sort of thing. But for Costco, I'm like, holy
even though he's
shit.
Already been exposed like three or four different times
and tested negative, allegedly.
But, And I have no reason to doubt that. I have no reason to like whatever. Like if it's a lie, if they think it's reassuring to lie about the president having it, like I don't buy that. There's so like I don't want to get into like too huge of a political rant. The thing is, honey, is it is about minimizing risk and exposure. Yeah, I think that at what point is it just like, is it worth the effort to do when you just, keep people from putting themselves out there to be a risk in the first place to where, we're not hosing people down or here's your complimentary 3D hazmat suit. The visor allows you to see the Pixar movie the way it's meant to be.
I like 3D movies. I always try to
watch. I do.
I've watched all Star Wars in 3D.
Oh, I'm sorry. Even that terrible, was it that?
Hey, man.
Rise of Skywalker.
Like, available on digital. I already bought it, man. I was going to text you the other night when I bought it and say, I got it, Patrick,
But why, though? and we're seeing this happen with all kinds of, like even in productions. Like I shared a few articles in the rundown. I didn't have time to send it to you, Tony, but like the director of the Shang-Chi movie, self-isolation right now. Because of concerns, and I don't know that he's tested positive or if it's just that he's been exposed and isn't feeling well, but enters into self-isolation. I found another article that I shared with you all. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick back in our little chat. Oh, it's just that Disney is shutting down film production on a ton of stuff, just like, and Universal has done it too. So yeah,
talk about all the theme parks that are shut. I mean, Disneyland,
right?
World, you know, Disney, Walt Disney World. World, Magic Mountain shut down the other day. Universal shut down. Unprecedented.
One of my friends came back today from Disney World, and they sent me on my thread. They did one of those 360 photos of Magic Kingdom on Saturday, and it's the most strange thing I've ever seen because it's a ghost town.
Can I ruin the flow of this show by telling you a bad joke that I invented?
Sure. Ruin the flow of the show.
Awesome. All right. So you guys have both been to Disney parks, right? And like, there's got to be places to eat. Do they serve breakfast anywhere there?
Sure. Yeah.
Have you ever had a Hakuna Frittata?
No, I could not say that I have.
That was officially me disrupting the flow of the show. Back to you guys.
That's a hell of a dad joke, by the way. Hell of a dad joke. It's the sort of thing that I would say to my kid to embarrass him at the breakfast bar.
All I can say is time continues to move forward. The both of you continue to look more pleased with the joke.
Fair enough. You got to, and I will say this, you got to look at this thing and laugh. And we're going to take a break here. I think we're going to put a bow on this. You know, it sucks and we're stuck. It sucks and there's nowhere to go. And I think that's going to just continue to be the norm. I wonder where it'll stop. I wonder if eventually we go the way of Italy. I hope not. But we're going to take a break here. We're going to pay the bills. We're going to, you know, pimp our site. We're going to pimp our business. This is Bandwagon Nerds on the Chairshot Radio Network, chairshot.com. Also can be found on rewrestlingnews.com. We're going to come back to you in about a minute or so and talk about the good. Cause I think that there is, in reaction to this, some good things that some companies are doing. And I think that bears talking about as well. So we'll see you on the flip side.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
All right, and welcome back to Bandwagon Nerds. I feel like the show has been kind of a downer so far. We've ranted, we've raved. Dave's face changed color at one point. Like, his bald spot started flashing bright red, almost like pulsating. Yeah. It was nuts. That giant egg of a forehead of yours. It's glorious.
You just couldn't go a whole episode without going in, could you, man?
It wouldn't be Bandwagon Nerds if I didn't rip on you at least once, man.
And after I put you over by saying, you know, you don't look like a diabetic. You look fairly healthy.
I look fairly healthy. Now, my actions belie my health as, you know, I may have eaten Baconators like they were my job before the diagnosis. I was a big fan of the Wendy's. But I wanted to talk about a few good things that I'm seeing coming out of this. Some of these are things that I think will happen. Some of them are things that I don't think will happen. Some of these things are things that are happening. But just kind of going around and seeing some of the reaction, the responses that we see some companies have done. And some people have done. You know, I think the big thing that's making the sports news right now is a lot of these NBA players that are going around and they're helping try to fund the workers at arenas and the employees of these teams because they're without their paydays and getting their jobs. And I think that's a very noble thing to do. I think it's a very great thing to do. I know Zion Williamson is one of the more recent names that has popped up. I think Kevin Love is doing something for the Cavs, if I do recall.
Giannis is also
Giannis, yeah.
So Kevin Love was the first one to donate 100 grand. Giannis, 100 grand. I believe Zion's doing something like that. Rudy Gobert, after the shenanigans that happened with him and taking it not so seriously, has donated $500,000 to the virus control. So just to give you those stats that I've seen, just because I've been watching SportsCenter nonstop.
Right. That moment with the press conference thing is going to live in infamy forever. It's just so crazy. Again, and at the time, it was just kind of where we were of him finishing up a press conference, joking about COVID-19, and then touching every reporter's stuff. And then, lo and behold, he's the one who's infected. You mentioned it earlier, Tony. Frozen 2 released yesterday, actually on Disney Plus. They released it early, available for stream for anybody who's got a Disney Plus account. I love this, and I hope more studios do this with films out of theaters. And I made a joke of it when I saw the news to my friend Matt, who posted it on Facebook first. I replied, though, and you'll appreciate this, Dave, no Rise of Skywalker, though, with like a question mark. And he just kind of was like, that's kind of what I said. But I get it, because that hadn't been released yet to any level of being able to be bought and purchased and profited off of. And so you'd basically be giving it away for free. Frozen 2 had been out for a little bit. People could purchase it if they want. I still haven't seen it. I intend to today after this podcast at some point. The little O'Dowd does not like Frozen, so we will not be watching it. But I enjoyed Frozen 1. I'm interested in Frozen 2 enough to watch it. And now it's streaming. Like, oh, why the hell not?
Is there anything like that you guys would suggest for people that is on streaming that's kind of off the beaten path, of which we don't even talk about, since you're probably going to have more downtime, right? Or if you're a sports fan, you're going to have more stuff to watch. I mean, maybe you want to get into that now, but I'm just like, that would be cool to be like, hey, what are you guys watching, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a podcast and a half of things that you could watch. I'll tell you one that I just watched. I've binged watched season 1 and 2 of, and I got through them really fast because they're relatively short. But it's a show. It's on Netflix. It's called Magic for Humans. And I can't remember the name of the guy who hosts the show. But again, the little O'Dowd loves it. And he basically just does themed episodes about various pieces of the human condition. The first season is a little more kind of, I don't want to say general, but like he does an episode about sex. He does sex and love. He does an episode. The very first episode he did is with kids, and it's about like impulse control. But he uses magic to kind of illustrate what they're learning. He does another one about technology, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great show. It's easy for kids to understand, easy for them to relate to. And it's still very adult in nature as well. The only episode my kid didn't watch was the sex and sexuality one. But this first season was kind of about that. The second season was more about him personally. He talks about time, the concept of time, and shares some stuff that he's been doing with his mother, who's suffering from Alzheimer's. He has a whole episode called Daddy Issues, because he just became a dad. Like he's got a newborn son, or I think it's newborn child. And so he does a whole episode about fatherhood and things like that. And it's really kind of neat. It's a lot of fun. Totally harmless fun, good stuff, and I really, really liked it. The other show that I would go with, if you haven't and you got some time, is a show called Explained, also on Netflix. They're like these mini 15 to 20 minute documentaries, and you pick a subject and they cover it. It's amazing, and it's a lot of fun. Little bits and nuggets, they'll make you think. And they're kind of like those appetizers to get you to explore other stuff. They do have a couple of extended series that are kind of like subsets of it. But if I were to give you two shows, you know, the Magic for Humans and Explained would be the two that I think are worthwhile watches on Netflix.
Justin Willman, and shout out to Magic for Susans.
Oh yes, Magic for Susan.
Yeah, I got nothing, man.
You got nothing?
No, I basically watch wrestling and whatever we're watching, and stuff I catch, like, you know, somebody else in the house will be watching something, but those are the main things that I watch, you know, focusing on Lock and Key. I mean, obviously, anybody who's listening, if you haven't watched all The Mandalorian or The Witcher yet, then go do that. And I'd say, you know, like you're saying, The Boys would be a good one. Crisis on Infinite Earths, that whole thing would be a wise choice. Westworld. I know like HBO's got a free preview going on right now.
Well, and yeah, the season premiere of Westworld is tonight.
Ah.
So this is the selfish part of me, by the way, Dave. Part of me is like, thank God this happened now instead of like a month ago. Cause I've been aching for Westworld to hit and come back out. And you know, even a month ago, I'm assuming that production would have been done on the season and they could have put it out. But there are some shows that I'm just like, oh God, please make it. Please make it. Oh, please make it. Yes, I've got Westworld. Yes, I'm about to get the Penny Dreadful follow-up series that's coming out that's taking place in 1930s Los Angeles and stuff like that. Like, So there's some stuff that's still going to be hitting network television. We're not all dead in the water yet. I think that this goes back to a point. There's a real opportunity for some streaming services. If I were a streaming service, I would open up some content if I could. You know, if you're a Netflix, and Netflix is the one that quickly comes to mind, who does that kind of rotation of content, kind of a release, pullback, put stuff away. I would err on the side of release a little bit more than keeping stuff locked away. Put some stuff back out there that you've had, that you have the rights to and could do. Same thing with some of these other things. I would think it would be a brilliant move for, say, a CBS to do like a free trial or a free run for, you know, maybe a week or so of their little streaming service. Let people check out Picard. Let people check out that new Twilight Zone. Give some opportunities, because a lot of people are going to be home and the news is going to get old. And at some point, you're just going to get reruns in the news on TV if this goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah. What you got, Tony?
All right. For those of you who really enjoy food and watching those kind of food channel kind of things, I'll give you three of them that are out on streaming. We'll start with Disney Plus. Gordon Ramsay did pick up Uncharted after Andy Bourdain. He did a really good job with it. If you like Gordon Ramsay, or you like, you know, traveling around the world, different things there, excellent. Continuing with the world theme, Netflix, two things. The Chef Show, Roy Choi, John Favreau. I believe there's at least two seasons. It is phenomenal. You'll be introduced to David Chang on that show, and he does Ugly Delicious, which also has two seasons, which is fucking phenomenal. So if you like food and you're stuck at home and you can only eat crackers and biscuits and whatever the fuck you can get at your fucking store or whatever else, and you're stuck with, you know, Campbell's tomato soup, at least you can watch on TV some really good food being made around the world. I've thoroughly enjoyed those three series on streaming.
Like I said, I got nothing, Patrick. You guys are the TV experts, man.
You're thoroughly useless. Thoroughly useless.
I know.
Yeah, I think that there's... Yeah, that's at least you admit it. At least you own your behavior. I think there's so many shows. You mentioned The Boys. Now's your opportunity to catch up on The Boys. And I think you should take the time. If you can get it done in time, season two is still a little ways away. I'm asking for two shows while you're dealing with all of that litigation. Just sneak it in. It's like six or seven episodes, man.
Dave,
it's fine.
Dave, if you already know what you want to go watch, you know, you experienced a little bit with Crisis. You know, you want to go back and watch Flash, the whole thing on CW.
I'd love to. I would love to go back.
It's on Netflix, right?
I think, yeah, Flash, Arrow.
It's on Netflix.
Because the little O'Dowd's favorite DC character is the Flash, and we've watched like two episodes, and that's about it.
The series is phenomenal. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. So if he likes it, let him watch it on his own. I'll be honest with you, I think you'd be completely fine watching that show by himself.
Yeah, I've had other friends who have children of similar ages. I've had no problem with them watching it.
I think that's the biggest thing that happens there.
So the other thing that I came across as I've kind of followed fun things that are happening is I'm sitting there watching, and it just took me a minute there, Tony, to catch what you were doing there. I'm on Twitter, and do you guys know who Trevor Bauer is?
Yeah.
Pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. Very outspoken guy. He puts out a tweet. And I don't know if this will happen. I don't know if people will get in his ear and say this is a bad idea. But he proposed, with baseball being delayed by at least 2 weeks, opening day being delayed by at least 2 weeks, and people kind of stuck in spring training land, he put out a call to his fellow major leaguers, inviting them to participate and film them playing sandlot baseball just for funsies, and putting it on like his YouTube channel for all to see. And players responded. A lot of people saying, I'm in, I would totally do it. Trevor Bauer being like, I'll DM you. Check your DMs now. And so if you're not following Trevor Bauer on Twitter, and you have the ability to follow Trevor Bauer on Twitter because you have Twitter, you're not like Greg and who stopped, I think it might be worth it if you're a baseball fan to follow it and see if this thing actually happens. See if they actually pull it off. See if it actually ends up on YouTube. See if they actually do some sort of sandlot baseball thing over the next few weeks, because I know that as a sports fan myself, I'm going to be thirsty for sports, and seeing some players, even if it's just them goofing off and having fun, might be worth the time to check out and see. And just the idea of it, I love the idea of it. It's risky behavior. I said this after I got on my soapbox over the WWE, but if they do it and they seem to feel that they're doing it in a way that's safe for all of them, that, you know, baseball is much less of a physical contact sport the way that say a WWE is or a USC.
Dave, what are the legal obligations here with like the players union and MLB? Because it seems like something MLB Network would jump all over and have some content for themselves. You know, he already said he wants everybody to be mic'd up. You could put all the money towards charity. You know, tons of people would watch this shit.
I don't think they've got any legal obligation to do anything. I think they've got a moral obligation not to expose their players, the fans, or anybody around them to an unnecessary risk of infection.
Could they do this to everybody's benefit? Like make some money towards the cause, have something entertaining for people to watch and not screw over the players union or the league, have it on MLB Network. Yeah. And they'll like have no fans. We don't need fans. Whoever test them.
It's real simple. I mean, if they want to do something to give back to the fans, then you basically get, okay, who all's involved in this thing? All right, let's all get tested. And as long as everybody tests negative, then go out there and have your biggest Sandlot game that you want. And
we won't know.
Yeah, no one will know it's happening. But you know that sort of thing. But
Dave, you totally froze in the middle of your statement, man. You were like, get tested. And then we heard nothing. He like skipped out. It was great.
Oh, it was fine on my end. No, I think you can do it. I would love to see people give back to the fans. I'd like to see all the sports kind of, you know, get some, you know, get, have the NHL do a second All-Star game or something like that with a bunch of people who, okay, we know that they're all fine. We've all tested everybody. Everybody's negative. We're going to put something on for the fans and give something back to the fans while this is going on. Yeah. Legally, they don't have any obligation to do it. I don't think you're going to get a lot of support for charging people for this sort of stuff, but you could do stuff like that. Sure. I mean, it'd be the smart thing to do.
Well, look at ABC, right? They're thinking about moving up the Jordan series.
Yep.
So like you can make the only way advertisers are getting screwed over from live shit right now. They'd be more than happy to pay to have this game nationally broadcast on MLB Network or whatever, you know, partnering network. Have the Jordan ABC could make so much money for 5 weeks. They have a 10-part episode on Michael Jordan. You know how many people are going to tune in twice a week for 5 weeks to watch a 10-part series on Michael Jordan?
Look, all I know is
I agree with you.
All I know is that somebody other than toilet paper manufacturers should profit off this damn thing. That's all I can really say.
And not Christopher Platt and his, like, you know, just retro, you know, backyard garage version of Lysol or whatever the fuck he was trying to tell us about the other day.
Yeah. Oh God. You watch too much
Breaking Bad, man.
Right. So the last story that I did want to share out with you, and I want to get your thoughts on this because here's the thing is on the surface, it's a nice story, but I also see where the capitalist in me is like, interesting. And that's the report that's come out that Comcast is going to be offering their internet essentials package for free for 60 months during this out. Or yeah. For, is that ooh, 60, for 60 months,
60, 60 months?
Days. Yeah. I'm double checking.
5 years
this headline.
Of free internet. Awesome.
that's pretty crazy. But 60 days. Sorry. Yeah. I said it wrong. 60 days of this internet essentials package. Now, to be clear, this is the lowest speed internet package that they have that's available to folks. They are speeding it up during this time too, so that it goes from 15 megabits per second to 25, I want to say. But for 60 days, families who, and this is, I do think, is a very real thing. If you're a family that is being told you have to expect to participate in something like remote learning and you got to have an internet connection to do so, if there's not an internet connection available because your family can't afford it or you can't have it, that tells you a lot about what needs to be done. And I do think that this is a good story for 60 days. My question is, what happens after 60 days? Do you get a new Comcast customer? Do you get a fancy new bill? Is it something they're going to take as they go?
That's customer acquisition. Doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
So this is actually basically free customer acquisition here.
Right.
All they're doing is flipping switches. Whatever it costs them to pay that guy to flip them switches for them places to have it, that's it. That's all it costs them. What, it doesn't really cost them anything more to give them this for free, right? It wasn't money they had coming in. Now, if they acquire more customers because of it, every streaming service should do this for a period of time right now.
It's very similar to what WWE Network has done forever, right? Free trial, hook them in, and then hopefully we can keep them, keep the customers.
So have no idea what you guys were talking about because somehow I lost Skype.
We sounded very intelligent.
We did. We sounded.
I'm sure you sounded
extraordinarily
great.
Intelligent.
I'm
you won't know
you
it till
like
you
me.
Hear. You won't know it till you hear it back. But
and I promise you, I will listen to it when we drop on Tuesday. But yeah, I think it's a nice thing. You're seeing this all over the place. And I do like as I talk about silver linings and things that I think are decent. I think that I've seen a lot of local businesses that like restaurants that are offering food to kids that may have been in assistant lunch programs in some way, shape or form. I've seen some chains do it as well, but it's generally been like a local, like it's isolated to a local branch of that chain that may be doing it. I've seen this. I have seen the good that can be done in kind of response to this. I do, while I question the motives of what will happen in the aftermath of the Comcast like offer, at the same time, it could be a valuable asset when everything that we've talked about on this show today has really come down to you have to have an internet connection to utilize it and to enjoy it or to be a part of it and to have your schooling go through that way. It may become a necessity. What it does tell me is that the internet is a utility, guys. And much like your power should be and your water should be, I feel like the internet is utility. It's so ubiquitous to everything we do on a day-to-day basis, and it's getting more and more so. It's at a point where we're getting closer and closer to a time where you can't function without it. And I hope, I don't think it will because I know how our country works, but I would hope that eventually the internet as utility becomes a real thing.
Do you think though? Okay. So we're going on 1 hour, 7.5 minutes in this podcast.
Right.
Would you like to have the conversation about universal healthcare and internet?
No,
no, because it's too long of a conversation. I know where I stand in regards to universal healthcare and internet.
Just don't go down the rabbit hole, Patrick.
But we're not going to go down the rabbit hole and fight over it if that's what you're trying to do. Picking a fight, pointing your beer at people. What I do think is going to be vital for folks as we find ourselves more and more socially distant / isolated from one another is things like what we're doing today. I think that you're going to see an interesting window and opportunity for folks that, you know, podcast. I think the radio has an interesting opportunity here in terms of being able to provide content to folks, podcasting, an opportunity. And I really, I know for me personally, and I'm not saying this to toot our horn or any other podcaster out there, but what I do think is really comforting are the things that don't go away and that can, you know, actually stay going relatively normally because it's a sense of normalcy. And I'll give you an example for me. We've talked about sports a little bit at the beginning of the show and the loss thereof. And I discovered a while back that my local radio station back home that covers Champaign-Urbana sports, University of Illinois sports, they have an app. They stream live through this app. You can actually listen to real-time radio stream live through this app. And they also put their shows out on podcasts. And I can tell you that every day for me for the last year to 2 years has been listening to a couple of these sports radio shows every day. It's part of my life. part of something I come to accept or expect, whether it's that I hear it live or listen to the podcast later when I'm taking a walk to try and get some exercise in, or on my commute home, catching up on it. These things are important and I think will go a long way. And so if you're a podcaster out there and you're part of this community, because we are a community, you're doing what I believe is important work. And I think it's a valuable work. And I think it's something that if you have people that listen to you on the regular and you have people that follow you on the regular, you're doing them a service and you are adding to a sense of normalcy in a very abnormal situation that we are facing right now. And so for as long as we can, I know that I am committing myself and committed to continuing to do both this podcast and Chair Shot Radio with Craig, because I know that even though it may not turn some sort of magical tide and it may not be having a great impact everywhere, I think it matters to someone. And I know it matters to me because doing these podcasts is a normal part of my week. And this continues to be something that I get to maintain as normal in my life, even when everything else around me right now is abnormal. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Hey, the NFL approved the CBA. So there's some current sports news for you.
There you go. We'll talk about that for next week.
Yeah. I mean, I think you touch on a lot of good points, Patrick. Right now, the most important thing people can get, I think, is information. Make sure you stay informed as to what's going on. Stay informed as to the status of the virus, what's happening. There's a lot of misinformation out there. People don't know how this thing operates. People don't know for sure. Is it airborne? Is it not? You know, you hear things. Can you transfer it from humans to animals to your dog? Is your dog at risk? Could they possibly? I mean, there's so much crap out there. The more informed you are, the better off you are. But like you're saying, podcasts like this, like DWI podcasts, like Chair Shot Radio, Pod is War, all that stuff, Attitude of Aggression. It is a sense of normalcy. It's almost like a security blanket of some sort. Hey, at least I still got this stuff going on. So it's not, you know, it's easy to start taking the most fatalistic view and say, wow, we're just a couple days away from The Walking Dead. You know, that sort of thing. It's like, look, when people start rising from the grave, then get really concerned. But until then, this too shall pass. Even the most higher ups, infectious disease specialists that I've been listening to all week say this will pass. It's just a question of when. You know, sooner or later, this curve will bottom out. The infections will stop spreading. You know, lots of rumors about whether China can develop a vaccine in a month or a year. That sort of thing, you know, it's just stay informed. That's the most important thing.
I think, you know, you kind of look at the relationship the three of us have, right? It's only recently we kind of steadily started working together a little bit, but we've always been podcasting and knowing each other. But this week it was kind of like, hey, wow, I can do something normal, like you said, right, Dave? And at 2 p.m. Eastern is when, if I can give it away here, is when the show gets recorded on Sunday afternoons. We show up and we're all looking at each other here via Skype and talking about stuff and having a good time and making a few jokes and just coming to the realization that our good friends are okay. Hopefully everybody that's, you know, affected is going to be okay. So, yeah, it's a weird time. And do the normal as much as you can. It will help you.
Right. And I think that is very well said. I think that's what we're going to call it a day, guys. I think that we've said all that I want to say about kind of what's going on. And I think next week, we're going to try to get back to what we've been doing. And whether that, you know, I joked and was like, yeah, the next project will be a new year for now. We got nothing new to talk about. The next project might be next week. So
the 90s more project. Hey, you're doing a service, Patrick. You're bringing it out early, just like Disney's bringing out Frozen. We're going to bring it out early.
We might be busting out the 90s project. I haven't decided yet. But before we go, Dave, why don't you tell everybody where to find you on the social medias and the podcasting world, even though you just name dropped all of the podcasts.
I'm hanging out on street corners selling rolls of toilet paper for $100 a roll right now. No, you can check me out on Twitter at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, or the website, attitudeofaggression.com. You can find me anywhere.
Mr. Tunney.
Follow me at PC Tunney. Check out DPP at It's Me TPP. Podcast DWI next week. You're going to have one. Pod is War next week. You're going to have one. Always a pleasure to be podcasting with the two of you gentlemen. I feel like just a hint to our listening audience. This is really the only time I feel like I'm not intellectually superior to everyone else on the
podcast. Damn it. Now Ungar's head is going to blow up and that huge forehead will be even bigger. Jesus.
Yeah, but the subtle rip I just pulled on everybody else I podcast.
Oh, I know. That was beautiful. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the compliment, Mr. Tony.
Thanks, Tony. I'm glad one of the three of one of the two other guys on this show has some common sense and decency, because it's not Mr. O'Dowd.
Oh, wow. That's hurtful. Anyway, well, you can find me, as Dave would say, send your hate tweets to at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me here every week on Bandwagon Nerds. You can also follow me on the Chair Shot Radio podcast that airs on Wednesdays. Take care of each other, everybody. We're going to be back. We're going to do a much more regular show. But that's going to do it this week for Bandwagon Nerds. Thank you once again, Mr. Ungar. Thank you once again, Mr. Tunney. Until next week, everyone, climb out of the basement and go stream some things. Don't go outside too far.
Yeah, don't. Maybe not come out of the basement. You guys,
wash your hands.
Wash your damn hands.
That's right. Wash your damn hands.
Stop buying all the toilet paper.
Wash your hands. Wash your ass. Do it.
Stay healthy.
Now that we've thrown all the advice at everybody.